Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and others. We always have to be very inclusive in case there are those who are, well, who are doubting themselves, who don't know where they are. Good morning. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listener. Welcome to another episode, another edition of Eagle FM, another edition of Eagle FM. So started earlier this morning with Atematias and then David, and well, we are all on the line. We are all on the line. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. It's a very, very a hot morning already. So it's already a hot morning. Hopefully it's not hopefully, it's gonna be hot. It's gonna be hot. So please do pray for rain. Those who have, there are some of you that are really, really good at praying. You know, it looks like my prayers aren't always heard. All right. Sometimes, but not all the time. So maybe some of you, your prayers are heard all the time. So do pray for rain. We need here on this side, especially this side of the world. Please, it's really, really burning. So good morning to you. How are you doing, and how is the weather where you are? So how are you doing, and how is the weather in your town, in your village? So welcome to Eagle FM. Our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of 8, and you are on Eagle FM. You are on Unpacking the Day, and I will be with you until the hour at 10 o'clock. And we're coming to you live and direct from the Ondangwa studio. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, headlines, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. Now, the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation, so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning. If you're just joining us, it's a pleasure. Welcome on board. And it's always a pleasure for us, you know, to have you. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM at this point in time to be in your company. So today is the third of the 12th month, so the last month of the year. So as usual, we start with our first segment that's looking at on this day in Africa. So on this day in Africa, December the 3rd, well, a few events that have changed lives and history in the cause of the history on our continent. So now, on December the 3rd, 1967, right? December the 3rd, 1967, Dr. Christian Barnard at Grote Skool Hospital performed the world first human to human heart transplant. So the world, you know, the first human to human heart transplant only took place in 1967. So, and actually it's done in South Africa, in Cape Town, Groot Schuur Hospital. That's where it took place. The first human to human heart transplant. Wow. In South Africa, in Cape Town. Now, the patient, Louis Washkansky, I think it sounds like Russian. Louis Washkansky received a heart from Dennis Daval, who had been fatally injured in a car crash. So Washkansky survived for 18 days after the operations. So it didn't take actually much days. So only 18 days that the Washkansky survived. All right. And on this day in 1920, the British government named Sir Frederick Lugard governor of both northern and southern Nigeria. So a move that sent or that set the stage for the formal union of the two territories in 1914. And on December the 3rd in 2024, the Electoral Commission declared Netumbonandi Ndaitwah the winner of Namibia's presidential vote, making her the country's first female president-elect, and officially count put her on roughly 57% of the vote. And she was sworn in on March the 21st and 2025. Well, and on December the 3rd, 2009, a suicide bomber struck Hotel Shamo in Mogadishu during a graduation ceremony, so killing about 25 people. Among them, three ministers of Somali's transitional federal government, and injuring many, many more. So that's what we have for you on this day in the history of Africa, on this day in Africa. All right, so today is Wednesday, the 3rd of December. What is our thought for the day? The anger of a fool follow him wherever he goes like a shadow. The anger of a fool follows him wherever he goes like a shadow. It could be a hare as well. The anger of a fool follows her wherever she goes like a shadow. Now, it means that a person who is foolish and quick to anger carries that anger with them everywhere. Their temper defines them and shadow them constantly. Now, in other words, unlike a wise or calm person who controls anger, now a fool let anger rule him. So anger becomes part of his character and goes with him wherever he goes. Now, the proverb warns that uncontrolled anger damages the individual reputations and relations. Just as a shadow is inseparable from the person, a fool's anger becomes inseparable from him, visible, persistent, and often harmful. Well, today's thought of the day, the anger of a fool follows him wherever he goes like a shadow. And whatever you decide today, in the course of the day, whatever choice and decision you make today, make sure that your anger, don't let anger rule you. That's our thought for the day on the 3rd of December. So good morning and welcome. And if it's your birthday today, happy birthday. For those who are born on this day, you know, happy birthday to everyone who is born on the 3rd of December. So, and good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. So what do you expect? What can you expect? This morning on the show. So, well, what we're going to do, you know, the president have just commissioned the three new task forces. You know, what are we asking today? What are we looking today? Are Namibia's new task forces, well, designed to act or or they're just advisors, or maybe they're just advisors, or they're just advisory committees. So that's what we're going to dissect. That's what we're going to analyze, and that's what we're going to look at. And at 9 o'clock, I will have Mr. Herbert, you know, to dissect this further. And well, I also invite you to participate as part of the show. So make sure that we unpack this together. So that's what we have for you. We're going to look at that in a little bit, in a little detail, and look at each task and what are their, you know, their functions as well. So, all right, stuck with me, stay with me. So we will be back in a second.
Omutia, we take your kaguna, imatina, omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, longishifa, ya, she became a shiwana. E moyao, or tango got the samwene. Anagashifa, yanamibia, ombitom banawa, or onjika. Seithanina, omaguro, nidanitoma, yue, yongishifa, yokupitramo, ikelefem, media house. Ngoe 20 meleha, u kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi fareki wimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day. I'm Michael Chiavelli. They call me Big Mike. And we are about to dive deep into a major announcement that came straight from the State House this week. Now, we have all felt it, you know, haven't we? The frustration of clinic without medicine. Haven't we felt that? We did. The anxiety of a job market that is just too tight. So that's why we have many young people actually sitting at home. All right. The dream of owning a piece of a land or simply house that feel like it's always just out of reach, something that you tried, you know, how many years now you have been waiting, how many years that you are on the list waiting for that house, that plot, you know. For years, we have heard plans. We have had plans, a lot of plans, many plans, but The delivery, the word delivery is not in our vocabulary. Well, that has been a different story. All right. Delivery is not in our vocabulary. You know, we need to write in our dictionary the word delivery. So because that actually hasn't been in our dictionaries and in our vocabulary. Now, this week, President Thumbonandi Ndaitwa stood up and said, in a sense, the way we have been doing this, the way we have been doing these things isn't working fast enough. Okay, well, she hasn't said it in that way, but, you know, and my voice is a bit bigger. So, but literally, she's saying, well, it hasn't been working fast enough. Okay, I want to speed this up. And she launched 3 new hired powered task forces to try and fix it. This is what it's all about. So, economic recovery, health, housing, and land delivery. Land delivery. That's what I'm saying. Delivery hasn't been in our vocabulary. So, now, President brought it in. Delivery. Land delivery. Okay. Now, so today we are not just going to tell you what was announced, what we're going to do. We are going to unpack it. Is this a genuine turning point? Is this a genuine turning point or just another committee or another group of people, you know, put together, you know, what is the different this time? What is different this time? That's all what we ask here. So analyze that. What is different? Is it something? Can we see something? Do we see any agency? Do we see what is happening? Okay, is it something different this time? And most importantly, what could it mean for you and your family? Would that actually make a difference from where you are now? So, well, stick with me if you want to find out. And also, stay tuned at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned until 9 o'clock when we'll be talking to Mr. Herbert. So we will go, we will have an expert who is looking at this from a different perspective. All right? So make sure that you stay tuned for that interview coming up at 9 o'clock. All right? Now, let's start with the what. All right? Let's start with the what. Now, the president has set up 3 task forces. But these are not your usual, you know, government-only committees. Okay? This is just not, you know, we're used to those, you know, government-only committees. No, 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 no. They are mashup. Okay? You know that mashup? The mashup. They are mashup. So you have a government, you have private sectors, you have private business, you have union, you have civil society, you have academics. Have I forgotten anybody? So you have all that. That's why I said it's they are mashup. You know, everyone is invited on the table this time. Everyone, come. So, and this is the big idea. So this is now the big idea. Collaborative governance. Right. You see? Now, from today, we can looking at that. Now, this is now collaborative governance. Yeah, I think, you know, David will be very happy for me coming up with that political word, you know, collaborative governance. David, I hope you're proud of me. Okay? Collaborative governance. Okay? So everybody's there. Everybody is on the table. You know, everybody's on the table. So this is basically the whole idea. Okay? So now, and this came out of the Namibian public. It came out of Namibia public private forum that was established few weeks or a few months ago. You know, something is happening. And the conclusion there was very clear. Okay. So the conclusion, the message or the conclusion was very clear that the government cannot do it alone. They can't. The government cannot do it alone. I think we can all agree on that. Okay? I think we all can agree. We all agree on that, definitely. So, now the problem are too big. So the president have realized the problem are too big and too complex. So the thinking is, the solution need to be crowdsourced. Okay? That's also my word. Crowdsourced. It means that everybody, government, private, business, unions, civil society, academics, you know, it's crowdsourced. The solution need to be crowdsourced. So I'm on the road today. Really on the road. You know, come up with the word crowdsourced, you know, should come from everybody. Eh? So I'm on the roll. So now the official goal is to actually fast track. So the official goal, and remember what now when we're going to look at this, there are certain things that I'm actually going to ask, you know, Mr. Herbert when it comes. So I'm giving you the gist. What is this all about? What has been said? What is this all about? Now, as I said, the official goal is to fast track the 6th National Developing Plan, our national to-do list known as NDP-6. That's our national to-do list. What do we do next? This is the to-do list. Okay? So the president called these task forces the engines. You know, the engine to drive that plan. These are now, this is actually a big thing. This is a strong words. These are the engine to drive that plan. Now, think, how does that gonna work? Is it the government that is draft? Is the government, should they maybe think of the, is the National Planning Commission, shouldn't be the engine? The ministry shouldn't be the engines, you know? No! And think about this. Think about this. The task forces, you know, the task forces are, the president has put it, are the engine to drive that plan. But, okay, let's pause here. And I'm going to ask you directly. Now, the NDP 6, the NDPs, how many of us even know what is in that? How many of you want know? How many of you have read? How many of you know what is in that book, in that document? It is this massive document, okay? This massive document with 7 pillars. So if you haven't read it, go and pick up. They're copy. They're free copies that you can have of the NDP 6. So along that have also a SWAPO manifesto, implementation have also the SWAPO implementation manifesto. Is that the right name? So have also that alongside, just to, you know, check, you know. So now, as I said, this is a massive document with 7 pillars, from agriculture to youth empowerment. So important stuff. But often it feel like a book, like many of you have made it. It's a document that comes out, you haven't even read it. So as much as you haven't read it, those in governments as well sometimes haven't read it. It's a book on a shelf. Eh? It's a document on the shelf. Not a plan in action. It's not a plan in action. It's just something like you haven't read it. The taste is in the we like to say things that we don't know. Okay? So the devil is in the details. Eh? But that's not the right thing I want to say. Is that you also haven't read it. So it's exactly, you know, that's the proof. That's making my point. So this document, now it's a very important stuff. So the first critical question that we need to ask here on Unpacking the Day, the first critical question is, now, if this is why have previous plan delayed? Why there has been played? Why have the previous plan delayed? Was it now? Now? Because now we're coming to think about this. My question is very, very clear. So we're talking about the task. We're talking about this task forces. What is their goal? Their goal is actually to fast track the six national planning, the six national developing plan. That's now the main goal, the official goal. Now, my question is, now think of now why we haven't achieved actually Vision 2030. Well, we're still at 5 years, but there's haven't a lot. We only have implemented 30% of Vision 2030. So there has been others like NDPs, you can other NDPs, we can also Harambe Prosperity 1 and Harambe Prosperity 2. Now my question, why have previous plan haven't been implemented, haven't been delayed? Why have previous plan delayed? Was it a lack of good ideas? That's a question that we need to ask us. A lack of implementation muscles, because there wasn't, you know, things like now, you know, what we're trying to do now. So these task forces, you know, well, I'm betting it's the later, really, that it was probably the lack of implementation muscles. So now, let's look at them and break them down one by one, just for you to have an idea what each one is all about. Okay? So now, first, we have the Economic Recovery Task Force. The Economic Recovery Task Force. And we're going to go in detail when we come back from this commercial.
No matter where you are, If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's...
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why?
All right, good morning, and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. And today we're looking at the new task forces that has been commissioned by the president, President Netumbonadi Ndaitwah. And we're looking at the fact that there have been committees, task forces, there have been plans. What is different? What is different this time? All right. And, as a public, we have actually, which I'm talking later also, we have, a trust deficit, coming from what we know. Not financial deficit, but it's a trust deficit. So, and that's why we go into this and ask some of these questions. But before we do that, and I said I have someone that I'm going to talk to in detail, someone who's more, understand this kind of stuff better than I do. Now I'm just analyzing what happened. And then at 9 o'clock, make sure that you stay tuned. You stay tuned in to analyze when I will be speaking to Mr. Hubbard. All right. So we were looking at the different task force that has been that were commissioned by the president. The first, the economic recovery task force. Okay. So what is their job? So unlock growth. Their job is to unlock growth, attract investment, create job for our youth. Those are the jobs that they should focus on. The president pointed them to the post-COVID recovery report. So he actually said, there is a report there that I want you to, check it out. And she said something that should stop us all in our tracks. I think we are too few. You will have heard that many times. We are too few to be poor. So we are too few to be pure. And that's a powerful line. Seriously, that's a powerful line. And it is true. Eh? It is a very true. So with a population of just 3 million, less than 3 million, our potential is absolutely, absolutely huge. But our unemployment rate, especially youth unemployment, is a national crisis. It is a national crisis at this point in time. Often cited at around 40%. Or higher for young people. So it is a national crisis. So what can this task force do? The question is, what can this task force do that the Ministry of Industrialization and Trade and the Ministry of Finance can't? That's the question. What this task force can do that the ministry, what other ministries have also, every minister have this responsibility. So what is that they can do that, ministries can't do? Now, the theory is that by bringing in, this is now the difference probably, the theory is that by bringing in private sector CEOs, they can cut through the debt, they can cut through the red tape because they are more effective. They are, and the other things, a business person knows what it takes to open a factory, for example, to hire 100 people, So they can look at regulation and say, this is what is stopping us. So they're kind of like bringing in, you know, people who have been there, who have been doing this, who have, you know. But we also need actually to look at the people that have been, you know, we have a list of those people. We need to see what have they achieved. And we're not talking about academically, you know. What have they done? So for us now to understand, what have they done? For us now to say, yep, those are capable to bring a difference. Maybe we need to go individual. I have a list of those. I think I can go into individual, you know. There are a lot of doctors, you know. So I must put a DR on my name so that I can be called up for things like this. So yeah. So now the hope is that this direct line, you know, this direct line to decision makers will unblock, definitely will then unblock bottlenecks. So, but, and this is a big one, will the government, you know, the government bureaucratic, you know, processes and something that, who is this? Mr. Mandume called them, you know, the cockroaches. Will the government bureaucracy listen? Will the government cockroach listen? You know, or will these private sectors that are now members of this task, will these private sector members just get frustrated and quit? Remember, they're on a voluntary basis. And that's a risk. Because think of this, and this is something that I will also ask Mr. Hubbard when he comes in. What is the legal backup of this task force? You know, what is the legal backup? Because where would it operate? Is it reporting to the president? And whatever they come up with now, they communicate to the president, and the president communicate to the ministries, or how does that work? Oh, you have members from all, you know, from different parts, from everywhere, from civil society, from the business, from, you know, from the government as well. But and when you look at those groups, you might be come from the government, but you're not coming from the ministry of that has to do with the housing and all that. So even if you come from there, you don't have decision-making power that lies with the minister or executive director. And if they are not part of that, who... Okay, you see those things. So there are a couple of things that we need really to, you know, to understand how that's going to function. And this is where that I said, the government bureaucracy, will the government bureaucracy listen? Will they listen? So they may come up with good strategies, you know, but then will the government listen? And how does that actually, you know, how does that goes with the government's plans? Or is it like the task force plans are the government's plan? Of course, the whole idea is to fast track the NDP 6 priorities. So let's look at onto the health task force. Okay. The president stated the obvious that a healthy nation is a productive nation. You can't work, you can't learn, you can't build. If you are sick, you have to be healthy. A healthy nation is a productive nation. That's what a president said. But here is where it gets really a little bit interesting, because she specifically instructed team to look at the 2013 National Health Report. 2013? That's over a decade ago. That's over 10 years ago. Why would the president actually ask the task force to actually look at, you know, to look at the 2013 National Health Report? Why? And this is a crucial point for analysis. This is a crucial point for our analysis. Now, we had a comprehensive report with solutions on the shelf for 12 years. Yeah? So we have this comprehensive report. That's why the president actually said, hey. No, the 2030 National Health Report, I want you to look at that. So for 12 years, for 12 years, you have a comprehensive report with solution on the shelf. Why hasn't it been implemented? Why was it not implemented? Is it a lack of money? A lack of political will? Or maybe both? Why hasn't been implemented? So, now, is this task force a new idea, or is it finally an attempt to act on an old one? So this is where we must be a little bit critical, you know? A little bit critical. Now, it is good to have a task force, okay? It is good to have a task force. But if the finding, let's say for example, if the finding of 2013 are still relevant, then the problem was never a lack of knowledge that needing you to have a task force, but it was a failure of execution. It's a failure of execution. Think about that. So this task force, a real test, isn't meeting and talk, okay? It's not about meeting and talk, I think. But whether the Ministry of Health, for example, in this case, finally does what it's known it must do for more than 10 years. Because, yeah, this is what it should have done already. So that's a challenge. It's not about, you know, because we have, like, as I said, the finding of 2013, that solutions, they're still relevant. Yeah? So the problem was always the execution. So now that would be the task force test, the real test. As I said, it's not about in meetings and talk and all. It's whether now, can you make sure that the Minister of Health finally does what it's supposed to have done, you know, some years ago already. And finally, let's look at the housing and land delivery task force. The president didn't mince her word, actually. She called the housing situation in some areas deplorable. All right? Deplorable. So, and she linked it to public health. She linked that to public health, mentioning disease outbreak because of, you know, of housing situation. And this is so real for so many of you, for so many of Namibians. The wait for decent housing is measured in decades for some. You have been waiting for years. The land delivery process is often seen as a slow and vague, you know. So you sometimes you don't know. There was someone who asked the question that, you know that all of a sudden someone become, let's say, for example, a counselor. And all of a sudden, this person get a plot. So that is the vagueness that where you don't know the process. How does the process work? About yesterday you were on the list and 100, you were the 1,020, and now you are at the front of everybody. So that the land delivery process is very slow and vague. That's it's not clear how it works. It's at the whims of somebody. Now this task force has the most emotionally charged brief because land and housing are deeply personal. These are deeply personal. A legal framework is there. We have all the legal framework. The National Housing Enterprise Act, we have that. and various land reform policies. We have policies that has been, you know, developed over the course of those, land reform conferences as well. But the delivery, remember what I told you, that that's the vocabulary we didn't have in our vocabulary. That's the word we didn't have in our vocabulary. But the delivery has been painfully slow. Now, can a multi-sectoral team that is made up now of everybody, business, government, civil society, you know, can this now multi-sectoral team speed this up? That's the question. Perhaps if it include builders, now you have actually builder. But when you look at the people that are there, are the builders there? Bankers there? Eh? Now who can offer innovative financing? Are there bankers there? And community leaders who know the local realities, are the community leaders there in those list of the people? Yes, perhaps. You know, what I said is this, can a multi-sectoral team speed this up? Or maybe, or we have just selected, you know, the technocrats. So have we really, you know, go to the ends of our community and take everybody so that they, you know, the combination of this team reflect exactly the need of our people. So possibly that's a question that we need to ask. All right. Yeah, but the problem is that, as I'm asking, would that speed up this process, this delivery process, which is painfully slow? And the question, the answer could be yes, but they will run into the same huge problem. And do you know what that problem is? Do you know what that problem is? The sheer cost of infrastructures and the limited budget. That's what we hear all the time. So, limited budget, that doesn't go anywhere. Can they find a new way? Can they find a new way, though? And if there need to be a change, they have to. They have to find a new way. Where would we get the money? They have to find a new way. They have to. Otherwise, it's a failure. So, yeah, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will dive into the bigger picture. Is this a shift of power? What do you think? So is this the right approach? And I want to hear from small business owners. You know, I want to hear from a nurse, because this is involved those kind of sectors. I want to hear from a young person waiting for a chance. And I want to hear your voice, because your voice matters. We will be back. We'll be right back.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Shikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe tatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you...
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. I'm Michael Chiavelli, and we are analyzing the president's new task force. Now, before the break, we looked at the three teams. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room. you know what is the elephant in the room? Trust. I told you earlier on. Trust or the lack of it. Okay? Trust or the lack of it. Now, we the public have a serious trust deficit. I told you. We have a not a financial deficit, but a trust deficit. So when it comes to a new government initiatives, we do. And we have a reason. We have a reason why. It's not just something out of nowhere. We have a reason why. So we have seen commission of inquiry. We have seen committees. We have seen task force. Some produce great report that gathered us on the shelf. You remember the one that we're talking about, the 2013 that the president have referred to the task force of health. You know, it's one of them, but it has been on the shelf. Eh? It has been on the shelf. So that's why we have a trust deficit. So it has been dusting. It has been gathering dust on the shelf. And others just seem to talk. That's all. You know? So, now, why should this time be different? Why should be this time different? The president addressed this head on. Now, the president have addressed this head on. He said, she said, this is the proof of her administration. Eh? It's a proof of her administration is a serious and service delivery. So she used the word urgency and commitment. But well, words are easy. Action are hard. All right? From her part, she must be doing what she needs to do. But, well, does this translate into everybody that actually should be involved? Now, so the proof will be in three things. Okay? The proof would be in three things. First, transparency. Now, will this task force meet in public with their minutes, their findings, their recommendation be published for all of us to see? Because we need to. Or will it be business behind the closed doors? Transparency would be very, very, very important. We need to know. Okay? The second is power. And this is something also that I will ask. Do they have a real power to make changes? Okay. Are they just advisory? Or maybe they're just advisory. Now, if that's the case, can they tell a permanent, can they tell, not a permanent, can they tell a executive director? Okay? Can they tell the executive director of the ministry and said, okay, this process must change? And have it happen. Like, can they tell the executive director or can they tell the ministry, the minister, hey, this process must change and have it happen? Would it be that way? Would that be the case? That's now we're talking about power and authority. Will they have real power to make changes? if it's not, and remember what I said earlier on, is there any legal backup for this? You know, where do they fit in? You know, they are not part of the ministry. They are not part of the president. They are just volunteer hanging, you know, hanging somewhere. Do they have power then? Where would be their power? Are they? How is their power constituted? Are they advisory body, committees, task force? So it's all good, set commissioning and all of this, but legally, where do they fit? So you can't come to Sangwasa and say, hey, man, Sangwasa will tell you the law. Eh? So you don't fit anywhere in the law here. Okay, you don't tell me. I will tell you what to do. So then where does it go? Now, so the third thing is really results. Okay, we need to see clear, measurable targets. Eh? Not those targets that are to improve, like improve healthcare. No. That's not a target. That doesn't, improve healthcare? How do you measure that? So reduce the medical, let me give you, you know, a real target. Reduce the medicine stock out. Okay, let's reduce the medicine stock out rate at clinic in Commerce region by 50% within 12 months. That is a target. Okay, we need timelines, we need accountability. So we don't just want these general goals, this general, you know, target that cannot be measured at the end of the time. There's nothing. How do we hold people accountable? We need measurable targets so that we know what they are, what they're supposed to do, and when. Okay? That's what we need. So the other angle here is the delicate balance of power. Okay? By bringing in the private sectors and civil society, is the government potentially giving up some control? Is the government really giving us some control? That could be a good thing. That could be a good thing. And it could lead to more efficient business-like kind of approach. But it also raises questions. Okay? It also raises questions. Will the interests of big business, now think of this, think much, much, much bigger. Now, will the interests of big business now dictate public policy? What if a recommendation from the private sector is to boost the economy? Let's say, for example, the private sector want to boost the economy. Now, and their suggestion is to relax labor laws. Okay, let's relax labor laws. Maybe that would be now the kind of suggestion. Or environmental standards. Okay? Or environmental standards. The assessment that are done, let's relax some of the environmental standards. Now, will the union representatives on these task forces be able to push back effectively? Will the government be able to do that? So, this is the messy, complicated reality of collaboration. Yes, the president acknowledged it, saying disagreement will happen, and that's okay, and that's okay. So she's right, okay? And if everyone agrees all the time, if we all agree all the time, it probably means not all voices are being heard. So that is being expected. So where does this then leave us? Okay, where does that leave us? The everyday Namibian listening, driving home, stuck in the traffic, maybe in Kathrathura or anywhere. So yeah, it leaves us in places of cautious, okay, very cautious, but optimism as well. So this is arguably the most concrete step taken toward. You know that the Harambe philosophy? The Harambe philosophy of pulling together. Okay? We got it. Everybody's on the table. Harambe philosophy of pulling together. So the president recognizing that, you know, the old way of governing, the old way of government working in its own silos, you know, the government used to working in its own silos, as the president said, has failed. It has failed to deliver the pace of change we need. So that has failed, and therefore the metaphor the president used was perfect, was absolute perfect. The canoe does not move forward if everyone is paddling in different directions. And that has been the case. The private sectors, the government, the civil society, everybody is actually paddling in different direction. For too long, it felt like we have been going in circles. Okay? We have been going in circles. So this initiative is an attempt now to get everyone paddling together. All right? So it's a recognition that the solution to our most stubborn problem lies not just in the State House. Okay. But in the boardroom, in the university lecture halls, in the community centers. Yes. Even in the voice of you, our listeners. All right. Stay tuned. We will get now to Mr. Herbert, and then let's see if we can get him and have a quick discussion on this issue. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Shikawa shafaa sana nana longe shifaa yae shiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o.
Ota umbongo tasamwene. Anange shifaa iya Namibia. Omvito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe. Yonge shifaa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omupashi pareki uimopo iyo moho programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, you are on Eagle FM. Good morning, Namibia, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today, we are diving into one of the most important developments in Namibia, in Namibia's push for a better service delivery. Now, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has just launched three national task forces, the economic recovery, health, and housing and land delivery. Now, this is to speed up the implementation of the 6th National Development Plan, the NDP-6. Now, for years, we have seen committees produce report, recommendation, strategies. But the big question is always, will action follow? Now, these task force are being called instrument for accelerated implementation. They bring together government, private sector, civil society, and local communities, all with the same mission, tackle our pressing issues with urgency and unity. Now, to help us unpack all of this, we are joined by labor expert and social justice activist, Mr. Herbert. Mr. Herbert, always good to have you on with us here on Unpacking on Eagle FM. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike, and thank you for the invitation.
So, Mr. Herbert, when you heard about this new task force, what was your first reaction?
The first reaction was not being quite sure what the exact purpose is against existing structures, because what we had for a long time, of course, since independence, is a National Planning Commission that is supposed to develop the overall direction that Namibia will take. And that one already has representatives from various constituencies. Then we had specific advisory boards like the Labor Advisory Council, tripartite unions, employers within the Ministry of Labor. Mm. And, of course, the first two presidents, the late Nyoma and Hifikepunye Pohamba, had the Presidential Economic Advisory Council.
Yeah.
And those structures existed alongside the ministries, and it was never quite clear how they interface and who would take decision and how things were implemented, because implementation, per definition, is supposed to be the role of the civil service. And so each ministry has the structure with the executive directors and then directors of divisions and so on. That is supposed to drive the implementation. And the ministers, of course, as the political, it's overseeing it.
Yeah.
So now with the appointment now of task force, the question is now, how will they interface with the ministry? How will that fit in with a speedier implementation? Because a task force can't implement. It can only make recommendations.
Yeah.
And so it's in effect against a rather bureaucratic structure.
Yeah.
And unless this structure comes up with very good and implementable ideas that can then be put into practice immediately, one wonders how effective the new structures will be.
Yeah. Now, in your assessment, what is the key thing that is supposed to make this task now, this task force is different?
Well, of course, that's now something the president actually only could answer, because he has decided on that one.
Yeah.
And I have not heard in terms of implementation how recommendations by these new committees would be implemented, because they still have to go through the ministry. The task force don't have staff to implement. They can only recommend to the ministry. So it would go to cabinet, then to the ministries concerned for implementation. And then you, of course, have always the issue, and that we had millions of times before, that the finance ministry needs then to finance those recommendations. And if the finance ministry says, no, we're short of funds, or we have other pressing priorities, then the recommendations will be left hanging in the air. And that is always the big risk of such structures.
Yeah. And now, why now? What do you think triggered, maybe the president to create this task force? In your opinion, what do you think has triggered the president, to create this task force?
I think we have a president now that is very sincere about making changes and about making improvements. And it goes beyond, in her actions, it seems it goes beyond just rhetorical statements. She really is driven by the desire to make significant changes that will help solve some of our economic and social problems. And so she is not convinced, seemingly, that the existing structures will be able to do that. So her hope seems to be, by creating this task force, she hopes probably for some increased pressure on her ministries to deliver. But it's a fairly dubious strategy, as I mentioned, because you have the structures already there. And in principle, it should work with a cabinet that's goal-driven.
Yeah.
And it will make sure that the policies are implemented and that the interventions that are needed are broad enough. And my sense is the president tries all she can think of at the moment to make things happen, because she's now going to be almost a year in office, 9 months by now.
Yeah.
And she has promised, for example, 500,000 additional jobs. And there's no sign of that achievement yet, because we would need to be at around 80,000-90,000 more jobs by now.
Yeah.
So her actions seem to be driven by the desire to make that difference. If it will work remains to be seen, because ultimately the real drivers of implementation have to be the civil servants employed in the various ministry, and there must be that must be the engine of delivery for services to the population.
Yeah, and if I'm a civil servant, this doesn't give me confidence, knowing that the president actually thinks that we're not doing good enough, and therefore she have to create another, a body to do that.
Yes, yes. Now that seems to be, and of course anybody can testify to that the service delivery is often very slow. That bureaucratic hurdles in terms of service delivery, and then you have wastage of resources, through dubious tender processes. And all that, of course, comes together with and creates then a problem in the healthcare sector or in the education sector.
Yeah.
And the president is obviously also restless. She wants to make that difference in her five-year term. And very clearly, there needs to be a wake-up call, but it needs to happen from within the ministries as well, that those in the ministries supervising the delivery, those carrying out the services, they must be at the forefront of improving it. And when it comes to housing, it's, of course, a much bigger issue, the question of housing models, the question of resources being put into it.
Mm.
That cannot be solved by a task force. Likewise, the question of land redistribution is not a matter of a task force. It's a matter of policy intervention. There have been long been calls to do away with the willing buyer, willing seller policy. There have long been calls to make sure that when land is redistributed, it shouldn't be an elite-driven process, but it should go to people who make their living directly off the land and not to part-time farmers. So these are things that have been debated that need to change, but it will not be changed through a task force. It is it's a step further in some policy changes to fast-track the social changes we need in Namibia to become a more equal and a more prosperous society for all, in the sense that our averages are just driven by huge levels of inequality, a small, tiny, super-rich elite in poverty on the other end. And that you cannot change through a task force, because that we know exists, and it's a matter of making the interventions that change that scenario. And in other discussions before, we talked about that, like a universal basic income grant would make a huge difference in many Namibians' lives.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned a little bit of at the beginning. What kind of decision making power would they actually have? Will they be able now to make a binding recommendation, or will it just be advise the ministries?
That's all they can do. There is no way they can overrule ministries or prescribe. The president has the option, of course, to take the recommendations of these task teams to cabinet for adoption. And then they would guide the implementation by the ministries. But the actual implementation will remain in the hands of the ministries, and the actual executive decisions remain with cabinet. They cannot be delegated to any task force.
Do this task force have a formal legal authority under any existing law anyway?
No, it's based on the authority delegated by the president who appointed them. And that's where it rests. The Presidential Advisory Council had a legal basis in law. The Tripartite Labor Advisory Council has a legal basis in the Labor Act, and so on. This one has only a basis by the authority given by the president. The president basically telling them, look, we want you to assist us here how to solve some of these problems, and I'll make sure that your recommendations will be heard by the executive branch of government, namely cabinet. That is as far as it goes. There's otherwise no legal basis for that.
Yeah. You actually mentioned the National Development Commission. How do they fit within the National Development Commission, which already oversee the NDPs?
That is unclear at this stage. I guess the committees would be given the task to operate within the national development plans that the commission has already presented and is working on. So it won't be a new structure that will be created. They will have to fit in within, and their effectiveness will depend how seriously cabinet and the president is taking the recommendation, and how the recommendations will then be translated into practices by the ministries. Mm. Only then will the public be able to say it made a difference or it did not. There is no new executive structure created for those task force and their recommendations.
Yeah, when you think of individual ministries and what the task force is actually would be doing, is there a risk of them stepping on each other's toes?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
If the task force, for example, and depending on the particular composition, I see there's, of course, also a heavy private sector and finance sector involvement. These are people that have experience and might be successful in running a private business, but
yeah,
an economy of the country requires macro level interventions, not micro levels. You need to look at the broader things. You need at redistributive intervention. You need to look at ways of improving people's livelihood. Now, that is not something they have necessarily come across in their private business activities. So their recommendations might be driven from another angle, and therefore it might clash, of course, with some of those that the National Planning Commission had developed before, or that individual ministries had developed before. For example, the housing ministry has developed, I think, 2-3 years ago, a new national housing policy. And the task force might come up with interventions that run counter to that policy. And then it's for the executive really a decision to take. Now, what are we following? We adopted a policy, but now we have recommendations that suggest something different.
Yeah.
Where are we going? And that could well happen, that there could be some contradictory proposals and approaches that clash.
Yeah.
And then it's for the executive to decide, because that is their job.
Yeah.
To make sure that an intervention is being carried out that will make a difference.
Yeah, and the other thing is I think it's to whom this actually task force report to, and especially when it comes now, how do we know if they are actually succeeding in their task force? I mean, in their mandate. How do we know who they are reporting to?
Yeah, well, the president, obviously, as the establishing power, must have given the task force some guidelines. What are they supposed to do? What is the expectation?
Yeah.
And unless there is some other arrangement, this task force therefore have to report back to the president.
Yes.
As the head of the executive and the head of government. Then the next step would be by the president to table the recommendations at cabinet level, and particularly with those ministries concerned, and then to decide based on these recommendations, are we going to continue with the way we've done things before?
Yeah.
Are we following the old policies? Are we going to make amendments and changes? That decision has to be taken by the executive and then translated by the ministries concerned. Only then will we as the general public see if there is going to be a visible change on the ground, or if it's going to be another report gathering dust. And that kind of thing we've seen, unfortunately, many times before.
Yeah.
I remember in President Nyoma's time, we had a tripartite commission that looked into the conditions of farm workers and domestic workers.
Yeah.
And made the Kameta Commission report, made very detailed proposals of how things can be changed and improved.
Mm-hmm.
And hardly anything was done.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make sense anymore. And that's where I think Letumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah will be tested, and where she will have to live to her own up to her own pronouncements of no more business as usual.
Mm.
Likewise, when you look at more recent times, the recommendations of the National Land Conferences, hardly any of those were implemented. So very often, the question arises after some resolution or some recommendations were made, how are we going to implement them? And that is the proof of the pudding. That's where things need to happen. Otherwise, it will be a waste of resources. And hopefully, President Nandi-Ndaitwah will drive that process towards better implementation. But of course, first, we would have to see what are these committees actually recommending.
Yeah, there's so much on her plate, actually. That's so many things that are actually coming into her office. You know, you understand? So,
yes.
Yeah, we talk about oil and gas, you know, and these committees, I mean, and this they are all reporting to her. That's quite a lot, you know.
It is a lot.
For the president office. Yeah.
No doubt. And she is taking on a lot, driven by the desire to make a difference. Mm. But of course, ultimately, you will have to put up structures.
Yeah.
How to maintain that. It can't be dependent on one person and it can't be dependent on one office. It needs to be structured in a way that the changes can be made, but she must be the driver, and I think that must be welcome to have a president that is determined to make a difference, not in her personal life, but in the life of her constituency, the Namibians at large. And the desire is undoubtedly there. The success, however, will be dependent on the strategy, on the implementation, on the structures to be put up that can drive these changes and sustain them over time.
Yeah. Now, with this task force, there are seven priority pillars in NDP6, but only three task forces. How do they cover everything, you know?
Well, the task forces are not supposed to cover everything. Mm-hmm. They were put up for specific purposes that were identified as the most urgent ones, I guess.
Yeah.
And so the president decided, despite the six pillars that we have, they all are priority areas, and in the ministries are dealing with them. But on top of that, she identified seemingly those three areas is particularly important, and therefore hopes that the task force will provide some important input to drive it further. That seems to be the thinking.
Yeah. Now, in your opinion, what is the main challenge this task force will likely face?
Well, first of all, it's to find common ground in terms of what needs to be done. From my own limited experience in President Pohamba's Presidential Economic Advisory Council for a while, I saw how difficult that can be when you have people from different backgrounds that are like from community organizations that have particularly concerns for those community, and then you have bankers and private business people there who have a very different worldview. That's the first challenge. How do you then find some kind of consensus and not water down some of the recommendations so that they become acceptable to all, but then become fairly meaningless because they are just like compromise documents? So my concern is always when you put teams together, there must be, if you like, an ideological cohesion behind it to see, for example, if it's a redistributive agenda. And you get people who can drive such an agenda. And private bankers, for example, won't be able to do that. That's not their agenda. Private businessmen who became millionaires or billionaires have another agenda, the private sector-driven focus. That's the first big challenge. And then once some kind of report and recommendation has been reached, the second challenge is how to get it translated through the ministries that are, of course, not under the control of a task force. And I think at those two levels, that will be the main challenges.
Yeah. So now, the members are volunteers. Is that a strength or maybe a potential weakness?
Well, that could be a strength because they come from different sectors and are supposed to bring in their expertise. But as I just mentioned, this expertise can be very different. A community representative or a trade unionist has a constituency, and they represent people that are on the margins, that are not amongst the privileged. And then you meet in your committee vested business interests, for example, and that is difficult to navigate. And although they are all independent, so they don't have to toe like a line in terms of government's policy, it might not be easy to find any coherence within the committee under such circumstances. And that will be, I think, one of the main tasks. And that's, of course, also in terms of government thinking. Is it really feasible to throw just everyone from all corners of society into one pot or into one committee and then hope that somehow some coherence will emerge. Other countries have done it sometimes differently. They have focused more on social and economic transformation, and they gave very clear preference to those who are struggling in society and their interests and their needs to drive policies. Mm-hmm. And I would argue personally that in the case of Namibia, that's what we need. Yeah. We have marginalized a large part of our people for far too long, and often it's elites that drive businesses, that drive policy proposals, the wealthy, both from the private sector and political elites, yeah, often collaborate very easily and marginalize so many others. So I think this is what I would have hoped for, which we haven't seen now in this task force. But as I said, we must probably give them a chance again to see if they can rise to the occasion, yeah, and if really something meaningful comes out of it.
Yeah. Now, Anna, the marginalized that you're talking about, how can the, let's say, average Namibian support? How do we support this initiative?
The best form is always through organizing themselves. So communal farmers, for example, would organize a communal farmers union. People in the informal economy need to organize themselves likewise. Those in more formal sector work have organized at least some of them into trade unions. And then these organizations, women's organizations, informal economy organizations, communal farmers unions, trade unions, these would be the bodies that then represent some of these very important interests in society.
Yeah.
And they need to be, in my view, given priority. Their views need to be heard. Their suggestions need to be taken seriously so that we move to a far more inclusive development process that does not keep half the population unemployed, that does not keep those with jobs in starvation wages.
Yeah.
And I think these kind of aspects, social justice aspects, redistributive aspects, have been neglected to a large extent and need to come to the fore prominently now, in my view.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you could give one piece of advice to the president about now this task force, what would it be?
Well, she has appointed them now.
Yeah.
I would have said, consider the very concrete proposals that will have a redistributive effect in the country, and that will be felt in most households immediately. That would be my advice to the president, and consider in this regard a basic income grant not as a social welfare tool, but primarily as an economic recovery tool,
yeah,
as something that will inject incomes into every household, into all communities, rural and urban, and therefore create a basis for economic activity and economic recovery. And at the crisis point that we are, this is something that can be done. We don't necessarily need task force for that. We can work on an implementation plan for Namibia and make that a national priority. That would be one of my recommendations that I could share with the president. And this has been, of course, made before. This is not a secret mission, but it was not taken up by the previous administrations.
Yeah.
So maybe her administration has the chance to do something like that and be then guaranteed that this will truly make a difference in Namibians' life.
Yeah. And finally, Mr. Herbert, what is your overall, what is your takeaway? And are you optimistic?
I'm optimistic in terms of the intentions of the president, no doubt, that she wants to drive things, and she takes her slogan, no more business as usual, seriously.
Yeah.
The concern is about the structures, how we're going to do that, and how we can change the system in a way that it becomes responsive, that the services can be delivered, and that particularly economic recovery for the impoverished majority can be achieved. And I think there we're not yet at a point where I would say we found a very workable path ahead yet. It's work in progress, and the next few months, next 1 or 2 years perhaps, will show if we will achieve what the president has set out to do. Yeah. In my view,
Mr. Herbert,
there will...
Before we close, a quick commercial, and we come back quickly.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weather ko ombuni kiri ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no matha kumurungu wa indu. Weri rongere kusha omune ondengu okura kwe imba. Una oviu media peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. So, kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano komieze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente omurongo komieze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente omirongo idari na dano. Media mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyeru haka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
Alright. So just your takeaway and your last words. Yeah.
Yes. Besides the good intentions and the desire to make a change, we will need to make structural changes to our economy. And that will determine ultimately the outcome and if we can move towards a more socially and economic just society, or if we just maintain the current inequality. So that will be the crux of the matter. If it will happen, we'll see in the next 1 or 2 years.
All right. Mr. Herbert, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us actually unpack these crucial questions always. As always, your insight gave us a lot to think about, and we appreciate your time and your voice on these issues. Thank you for coming through today.
Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. All right. That was Mr. Herbert Jach helping us to... to understand the appointment or the commissioning, not the appointment, the commissioning of the new task force that the president has commissioned this week. All right, what is your take? You are most welcome to come through now. It's our time is about 32 minutes past the hour of 9. I'm going to give you all this time until the end of the show for you to come through and really if you have anything or reaction to our discussion and to earlier inputs that or earlier information that I've been discussing with you earlier. So you're welcome. 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So what do you say? What do you think? What's your take? 0808-333-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Our time is 34 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And you are tuned in Unpacking the Day. We come, it's a daily program that comes every day, that comes to you every day from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So by 10 o'clock, we're going to cross over back to Windhoek, to Tate France, who is going to come up with discussion program, Kuthamosha. So yeah, well, we're talking about the new Namibia's new task force that was has been commissioned. So the launch of these three task force is a significant and I think a welcome shift in strategy, as Herbert was saying, and it admits past failure really and tries a new more inclusive approach. So where you have now the business, the, you know, the communities, the, you know, the everyone is on the table. So the focus on the economy, on health and on housing, actually targets our acute, you know, if you like, in a medical term, it targets our most acute pain points, you know. So those are the most, you know, the acute pain point in our society this timing point at this time, but this is only a beginning. It's only a beginning. The real work is ahead, as Mr. Herbert mentioned. It will require unprecedented cooperation, because people are coming from different background, different, you know, work field, you know, and require a radical transparency and relentless focus on result over a rhetoric. It shouldn't be just as business as usual kind of rhetoric, but really the result of this. So, and for us, the public, our job is to stay informed and stay engaged, you know, like what we do, stay informed, stay engaged, watch what they do, ask what they achieved, you know, ask what they have achieved, and let's hope, and let's hopeful, but let's also be demanding as well, okay? Don't just sit at home and just fold your hands, okay? So let's be demanding as well. 083-366-091. That's the number you can call. All right. So if you want to engage me on this topic, 083-366-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Eagle FM, the eye. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifaa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning, and thanks for joining us, and thanks for your time, and thanks for listening. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 40 minutes. We still have about 20 minutes before we come to the end of our show this morning. So, yeah. So we're talking about what the president has announced the, you know, he launched three new higher power task force to try and actually and fix the way we have been doing things. You know, it hasn't been fast enough. So, and the president want actually to fast track the way we have been doing things. So especially in some areas like economic recovery in three areas, in economic recovery, in health, and also in housing. So the president have set up this task force. And this time they are mashed up. You know, mashed up, that means government. They are actually mixed up with government, private, you know, business, unions, civil servant, academic, everyone is invited to the table. So which, as Mr. Herbert M. mentions, that, well, it has its own challenge in be able to, you know, how do we all pull in the same direction. This meant to be, instead of, you know, fast track, you know, the service delivery, it would actually even probably make that worse because of the process that probably would, the process would, this would take. So given the number of people the composition of that group. But what I want to see is also to see really maybe go a little bit deeper and see the composition of that group. Ooh. Are they only academic people? Are they only, because there are a number of doctors, you know, and it's all good. Sometimes it have to have that representation, really people who are coming from the people you want to provide, the people you want to deliver the service. So are they represented, or we do as we usually do? We speak for them, we represent them. We don't allow them to represent themselves. We represent. We kind of just few elite, as he's saying, who drive the economy, who drive economic decisions, and the people we want to change, the people that we want to change their lives and their economic status are not part of that process. You know, we make decisions for them. So, yeah. So let's see. Check through the names that we have seen so far. Are we see really people that are more community representatives, that are more farmers representatives, that are more, you know, the Kapana vendors representatives, you know? So that's it. That's the point that also Mr. Herbert, what he's trying to make. All right, our time, 44 minutes. 08 triple. I'm at the. If you want to come through, so the line is open. You may come through. Our telephone number is 08 triple 3 66 091. All right, so please do come through and engage us and have your opinion, have your voice. 08 triple 3 66 091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, Imatina, Omjo. Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, Iamoyao, Otaingo, what is a money? Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombidom, Banawa, Orangika. Seithanina omeaguro ni randitoma yoe yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashifaregi uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hitatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And today is Wednesday. It's a Wednesday, the 3rd of December. We have also the Villager. Today's edition of the Villager is out. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure that you subscribe to receive your digital copy of the Villager. So, a very good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the topic.
Yeah.
I wanted to somebody who can unpack it. Does it really have the best players on those teams?
Or you could just basically look at who have DR on their name and pull their name up.
That's what I'm now seeing it. That serious on healthy, and they one thing I realize that they do something. Why they have left in Haufiku?
Yeah,
Haufiku, he learned a lot from the. The time was saving that ministry. And to look on his contribution now, it looked like it's a person who is now understanding the health sector and the public, between public and private. And those are the type of people that they need to be. Because if you look at our hospital, you see that there is a lot that needs to be done. Because every day those hospitals, they are full of people.
Yeah.
And we don't know what people are treated. Whether it's...
What happened? We lost you. So please do come back. Our 3666... so 08 triple 3 66 091. We lost the caller. I don't know what happened. I think it's not for my side. So let's see. Very good morning.
What happened?
I don't know. I'm also wondering.
Okay. So those are now the things that I don't know, because this councilor of for Tatepoamba, if you look at in Tatepoamba, I think the form first raid was also a part of that one. But how do they allow it, the NHC to get the that mass housing proposal, and they change the modem of constructing houses? Do you think there was an advisor there?
Yeah.
How can you change the model of the market? And at the end of the day, this plan or this contract was even discriminated by president.
Yeah.
But who allowed this plan? So, and you were having a committee that are advising you on that sector. So we are not. Let me say, talk for myself. I'm not to say these people they are not working, but I'm just asking question that if you are there to representing somebody, it's for his benefit, right? For the president to see his administration is working or was making change, as he promising people. But they allowed that plan to that the police to be implement, and then filing the president. And now here in the economy, it's the same. We have to look at those people that is breeding up companies, not that they're destroying companies. But there are only 3 or 4 companies that they've been raised in this country, especially even in the financial institute or property management or asset management, for example. Some of these people, they are failing because of the management. And to go forward...
Much of that has been because of management.
Because of that, how the economy, how the Namibian, including on the economic sector, they were not. Because if you look at it, yesterday or day after yesterday, we were talking about the releasing of the printed money that are now coming in the market. Who are those people that are requesting those money? And if you look at the housing, most, let me say 70% of the people are renting, which means they are fighting to pay the market price. But the market price is higher more than the earning of people. Even in the public sector, or the civil servant, for God's sake. And you are here. I don't know whether he picking a right prayer, because these doctors, they are there in the private and public sector, health. But they are not doing anything different. They are appreciating people to get sick, and then they claim the money from the medical aid.
That's what I'm saying. What have they achieved?
Have they achieved?
That can tell us that, you know, they are competent enough actually to deliver.
Mike, if you visited Optisco, what is this clinic for eye? If you are just testing those people and you go there in that clinic, they will give you a glasses already. Which means they are tricking people. Wow, why the old people are blind in Namibia? Ask yourself a question. Even the president must ask you those questions. Because of what? Because of money. Medical aid that you allow these people to have. So, I don't expect anything.
The question, well, that's it's something completely different. But it's a good thing that you... So, that means the eyes cannot be treated without glasses.
Yeah.
That means whenever if you have an eye problem, the only solution is that you must get glasses, you know?
You see that. So those are the issue that I find somebody were crying, saying, they're charging me 9,000 for the flame is 1,000.
Yeah.
Because it was 2,000 something for Black Friday, they make 50% off.
I actually just paid about 4,000 for my son. My son actually went for a driving license. And they asked for the test, and I have to pay. I have to pay about 4,000 something.
You said no.
Jesus, yeah.
That is what I'm saying. There is no, because if you comparing MBS, this boy for Saudi Arabia, or checking the Emirates now that they are taking over from UK or London,
yeah.
Those guys, they are not asking these people who are transferring their money to Dubai to pay tax. But they are maintaining the safety of these people, the comfort of these people, from their pocket. The road must be comfort. The road must be, the cameras of the safety must be everywhere. Which means those cities now, they are spending millions of dollars to protect those people. But ask you, ask yourself a question. How do they get money back?
Yeah.
Because they are planned. They know where the money are coming. Those investors who want to see those millionaires or billionaires, they have to come to Dubai. Mm. You see now, the tourism sector is making money. The hospitality is making money. The restaurant is making, everything is making money to paying the what? The revenue. But here in Namibia, people that is, are making money, that are circulating money in this country, they are not formalized.
Exactly, yeah.
How are they going to changing that? If you are telling me that the people of Pohamba era, yeah, where they are also multi-millionaires that you are seeing in the street, that they call themselves a multi-millionaire. But they're failing the government of the administration of Pohamba. So I don't see any different here. So, because she picked people who are not progressed. She never picked anybody that said, we know that is a Lesego company. It was breed up by who. Mm-hmm. We know those security company was breeded by who. Accepting the tenders that they are getting. Those are the things that you need to evaluate, that these are the type of people that I want in my administration. Rich Fontaine's diary, what, is gone. But if you look at the history of Bokomo, who lifting up Bokomo is somebody from where? From Indongo company. And he's the one who convincing even Indongo to come and investing on those things. Mm-hmm. Those are the type of people. Look at now, the people when they saw that the brewery is almost corrupt, they sold it. Ask yourself a question: if you why you sold the thing that is making money? They were not telling you what type of management do we have in this country, or what? Those are the people that they can give you a green a way forward. That no, we run away from this because of ABC and P. We are not to be protected. So and those
quickly,
are the things.
Quickly, do you think the task force, it's a good, it's a fast, would fast track the implementation of all this, of all these, priorities that we want?
You know? Yes, they could be, but look at the, Hemberg, what he said. Yeah, I know him. He's been there for quite long in Namibia, since I think 1988 or somewhere there. So the issue here is that how do they implementing those impact that they are, or how do they identifying those things? Because it, as he said, it has been there for years.
Yeah.
But if you look at the Nyoma era at the time, may rest in peace for that. So he was having a players, because he finding them there, those who are creating jobs and identifying the issues that is preventing Namibians not to participating in economic activity.
Yeah.
So that one now, it can be good, yes, but for them now to identify those problems or discussing and report. Where are they going to report that? Are they going to communicate with the National Planning Commission? Are they going to report into Bank of Namibia, they are going to report into the office of the president. Because if you are reporting this to the office of the president, the office of the president is already having an ED on those ministries. There is nothing, because the marshal, if you look at the marshal of this is Sam Shivuti, the police of sensitivity to blocking this count fake and what. He doesn't look where their things come from. If the things are not come from South Africa, it's already a problem. But you are not identifying that relationship between Vietnam and Namibia. Whether those things are coming from the Vietnamese company or from the foreign company that is operating in Vietnam. Mm. So those are the problem I'm saying. They might end up not finding this because they are saving to for their own benefit. As I give you an example of the optics and the private practice, for example. So those are the problems that was happening on Poamba. You know, Poamba, there was a lot of fabrical projects that was issued because people wanted to make money out of it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of...
it's only... We have only 1 minute. Yeah. To...
Okay. No. Let's see another time.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for coming through, man.
You're welcome.
All right. All right. Our time is a bone of honor. I nearly say 100. I see 10, 10 o'clock. I really need to say it's 100. So, well, our time is 1 minute past the hour of 10. And remember the metaphor the president actually used, which was actually perfect. The metaphor was perfect, that the canoe does not move forward if everyone is pedaling in a different directions. So, and for too long, it felt like we have been going, in a circle. So this initiative, it's an attempt. Like one of the caller normally said, well, why don't we try something different? So it's an attempt to get everyone now peddling together. So it's a recognition that solution to our most stubborn problems lie not just in the state house, but in the boardrooms, the university lecture halls, the community centers, and yes, as I said earlier, even in the voices of you, our listeners. So that's bring us to the end of our edition today of Unpacking the Day. So continue following our social platforms. Constantly we update you with what is going on. So make sure that you subscribe, you follow, you comment, you like, and all what is needed, So make sure that you follow. Coming up now, we are crossing to Windhoek, is Tate France, coming up with Kutha Mosha. From me, Marco Chavelli, let's book the day. Let's book tomorrow again at the same time, from 8 to 10 o'clock. It's goodbye and have a great day.